Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I'm your host, Freddie Wong, coming at you live from my brother Jimmy Wong's set for his podcast, The Command Zone, because my apartment's a total mess right now. They're doing a shoot there.
Your brother's doing a shoot. It's just you're in your more successful brother's super and big house where he does his successful podcast because he's using your house for his successful cooking show.
Yes. And you know, let me tell you something, boys. I'm an older brother. Matt, you are a...
I'm a middle child.
Middle child. Will.
I'm the sweet baby brother.
Wait, I guess we never realized this. Let me put it this way. It's great. It's fantastic. I love it. I love the fact that there's just like so much less expected of me. And I'm like, if I could have had this my whole life.
Wait. Do you think how hard did you fuck up as an older brother that you think the oldest child is the one with no expectations?
No, I know. But now that Jimmy's done it, he's taking some heat off of me, man. Because my point is my parents are like,
oh, they're like, oh, we already have. Right.
I don't know that Jimmy so much is taking heat off. It's just you have this sort of like heat reduction cooling system I think you self-cool.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going on here.
Yeah, there's heat all around you.
I can see the sunglasses come down.
We should call
I'm
your parents
cooling,
and see
baby.
How much heat they've been applying and whether any of it's gotten through. I think that's the better question.
Self-cooling, baby. Why don't you introduce yourselves on this podcast?
I'm Will Campos, the man judging Freddie Wong right now. I'm a screenwriter. I'm also in this room. I'm a little off my game today because I don't have my headphones on because we don't have headphones in this new setup because older brother Freddie was too lazy to set them up.
Too cool.
So I, the youngest brother of this podcast, will apparently have the most pressure on me to perform in this episode. So that's me. I'm Will. I'm a screenwriter.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm a professional writer and director, and only because professional dad's not a real job yet, but someday. I am a real dad, though, just not professional. I'm not paid for it. It's the exact opposite. I pay a lot of money to be a dad.
You're an enthusiast.
You're part of a market, a multi-level marketing scheme for dads.
You're like the vanity press. You know, like when...
All right.
This week...
Do you think they should have professional parents?
I mean, like, they have, like, au pairs and stuff, right?
No,
like,
but there should
extent.
Be a thing where if you can do... Okay, this is going to get
like
weird.
Foster care? Foster parents are...
They're professionals.
Yeah, you have surrogate? Like,
here's more what I'm getting. I'm literally about to describe adoption. I was like, there should be a job board for kids. And then if you're, like, really good at being a parent, like, you can go be like, yeah, I'll take that kid. And I'm like, that's just adoption. But more capitalist. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Uber, but for parents. That's what I'm just. That's
No, parenting should be privatized. It should be. Babies go to the state, and then you apply, and whoever are the best parents get the first kids.
Matt, parenting should be privatized. So first, all the babies go to the state.
Look, it's a complicated system.
This week, we're taking a Facebook suggestion.
Yeah, thanks to Dustin Reitzel. Sorry if I messed up your name, Dustin.
You can
feel free to correct me on the Facebook group. Special thanks to Dustin for pitching this idea, which was basically to take a band name and then turn it into a genre film. So you're not doing like, you're not doing a movie about the band, but you're taking the name and then being like, okay, what if this was the title of a movie, what kind of movie would that be?
Right.
So like some ideas from the thread that a lot of people started posting these. So you had Bullet for My Valentine would be a holiday themed revenge film. As I Lie Dying would be like a historical war drama. Katrina and the Waves, a beach surfing romantic comedy.
Or a documentary about Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah. that's the prompt this week. We got to find a band name that we can make a good movie out of. I feel like I'm talking to a fucking wall because both my story boys are just staring at their
We're
phones.
Looking at some band
I'm
names.
Assuming they're looking at band names. So why don't you guys throw some ideas out there?
Huey Lewis and the News. It's like about a newspaper man and he's got a, you know, and he's like, and the newspapers are round and he's like, nah, I want them to be hip to be square.
Huey Lewis is pretty good.
Huey Lewis. Okay, so we've got Huey Lewis in the News, a Newsies-style dad rock movie.
Prince and the Revolution. Like, what's the revolution? Is it, like, political upheaval, or is it, like, the turning of some objects 360 degrees? You know?
I'm just looking at the best band names, but they're all bands I haven't heard of. Behead the Prophet, No Lord Shall Live. Have you guys heard of that band?
Sounds like a power metal band somewhere.
Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy.
That'll be our second Thin Lindsay themed episode.
Thin Lizzy. Yeah. Teenage Jesus and the Jerks.
Wait, that's a band?
That's a band.
Teenage Jesus and the Jerks. That band name
sounds like
a sort of SoCal punk.
Is it? I'm guessing like SoCal punk. You need to get off this
list. You got to get off of intentionally wacky names.
Well, they also have the Who on here and stuff. These are real bands.
Here's what I'm going to do.
Tears for Fears.
Tears for Fears.
Ooh. I mean, it's like a horror movie.
It was called Crybaby or whatever. What was our tearjerker?
Yeah, given our track record of the horror movies. No, thank you.
What about...
Oh, this is going to be a good like race drama. Whitey Houston. Oh, no, Whitney Houston is what that one is.
God damn it. Throbbing Gristle.
Matt, your inability to judge any bands that anyone's ever heard of is really hurting you in this.
The Velvet Underground.
There you go.
Okay, the Velvet Underground.
All right, there you go.
All right, so we've got Huey Lewis in the News.
Okay, bear with me.
Okay. That's the name of our band.
Sex Pistols.
Wait, that's it. The Sex Pistols. The Sex Pistols. We can
you dare touch. We
can get really randy on this one.
Sex Pistols sounds like that's hard mode. That's the Dark Souls of band name movie titles. Okay. So we got Velvet Underground, we got Huey Lewis in the News, we got the Sex Pistols. Give me two more suggestions and then I'll say we'll whittle it down from there. And then Matt will keep throwing suggestions out there.
Dead Kennedys is not bad.
Dead Kennedys. Okay. Sounds a little tasteless.
Ooh, okay. Jane's Addiction. New Kids on the Block.
Joy Division. It's like toys.
Joy Division.
Yeah, it's like Monsters Inc. but for
Joy Division. It's like Monsters, Inc. meets Inside Out.
Yeah, exactly. NWA.
Faith No More.
We're not doing NWA, I'll tell you that much. Faith No More. Okay, so Faith No More is like a crisis.
Motorhead.
Ooh.
Oh, boy, Lemmy.
Motorhead's pretty good.
What about Flo Rida?
Flo Rida.
Flo Rida is just the C-plus version of Motorhead.
Same as in music, too, actually.
Flo Rida has, lived with that his whole life. People saying he's the C-plus version of Motorhead.
The All-American Rejects. You know, I feel like the real sort of well to draw from is, like, the whole Pete Wentz, like, Fall Out Boy, you know?
We could do Panic at the Disco.
Panic at the Disco. Panic. Yeah, like, it's like when there's, like, a disco fire in Russia and 83 people die piled up at the front door. Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. Just keep going to such dark places.
Okay.
World's a dark place, Matt.
Maybe we should do a random number.
Nickelback.
Whoa.
Nickelback. Oh, this is a fun one. It's a fun kids movie. Owl City. It's a city full of owls.
I'm trying to like, is there like...
The nightlife is fantastic.
I don't give a hoot about that movie, Freddie.
Jefferson Starship. Okay, it's presidents and it's presidents as motherfucking aliens.
Jefferson Starship.
Okay.
Because what you find out is that, yes, Jefferson was the first president to make a Navy and send it to Tripoli, but he was also working on the Space Force.
So it's all of
there's
these.
There's a spaceship. Jefferson's Starship is buried underground, Washington, D.C. This is National Treasure 3.
Yeah. We have to find
National
Jefferson.
National Treasure 3, Jefferson Starship.
Don't you get it? Jefferson Starfish was Starfish.
Jefferson Starfish and the Constitution flavored water.
Jefferson Starship was just a clue. You can listen to the songs. There's a spaceship underneath the Washington Monument.
Jefferson Starship.
I'm going to steal the Jefferson Starship and fly it into space and prove we never landed on the moon.
Originally, Jefferson just wanted to make an airplane, but then he realized that he had to go to outer space because they were originally called Jefferson Airplane Guys. I'm going with Jefferson Starship.
I like Jefferson Starship.
Okay, I was going to say New Kids on the Block, but all right, we're doing the
rose the top.
Jefferson Starship.
All right. So 20 minutes in this podcast, we decide what we're doing.
All right, Jefferson Starfish is
Starship.
I keep saying Starfish. Jefferson Starfish.
Now, does it have to be about Thomas Jefferson?
No, it could be some other famous Jefferson.
It could be the show The Jeffersons on a starship. I'm immediately like, we picked the absolute worst one.
You want to do New Kids on the Block?
No.
All right, we did it.
We've tortured the audience enough. We're doing Starship movie.
Thomas Jefferson having a starship is good.
All right, I think we just got to go with it.
You know what's on that starship? Hella tobacco.
Hella slaves.
Slaves and tobacco.
Because he was a gross dude. He sucked.
Oh, shit, you're right. He did suck hella bad.
Okay,
yeah, but we're not in the time of Jefferson. The fun is that the United States knew a long time ago that we were eventually going to go to war in space. What were they afraid of? Why were they bothering to make a spaceship? How did they get the technology or even the idea? Like, what was the
aliens
view of space back then?
Aliens gave it to us.
Aliens gave it to
Thomas Jefferson.
Jefferson.
They're like, you with the slaves, come over here.
While his Navy was out,
yeah,
they found something in the deep.
In the deep. The first people out there.
The ancients, who were the ones who populated the Earth to begin with. They built the pyramids and Easter Island, and then they got drunk and crashed their spaceship into the Atlantic Ocean.
That's why Thomas Jefferson wanted to have the Louisiana Purchase, because he needed the land, because that's where the spaceship was buried.
Somewhere in Louisiana or something.
Okay.
That's boring.
So Lewis and Clark were like
advanced
scouts.
That's always trying to fit the Louisiana Purchase into things.
They're starship pilots.
Lewis and Clark were aliens.
What happens if this was...
This was just one part of their intergalactic expedition. I'd like to attempt to solve.
Okay.
Lewis and Clark are intergalactic aliens.
Okay.
They're dumb aliens exploring the universe, right? Okay. And then they run out of gas and crash on Earth, right? Okay. And their spaceship. And who's the POTUS at the time? It's Thomas Jefferson.
TJ.
And Thomas Jefferson.
TJ to the max.
TJ POTUS is like, if you boys want your spaceship back, I'm going to need you to use your exploring skills to explore and chart out the Louisiana Purchase. And then I'll give you your spaceship back. And then so the movie is these two bozos, or maybe it's one of them. Maybe it's a buddy comedy. Mm-hmm. Maybe Lewis is from space and Clark is the greatest guy mm-hmm. on Earth, right? The greatest man to ever live, Clark Kent or whatever his name was.
Clark Kent.
And so then he's like, Mr. Clark and Lewis, you play nice, you're partners, right? And then so Lewis wants to get his spaceship back, and he's like, I can only do this by doing this expedition. And then they go on an adventure, and at the end, Jefferson's like, no, I'm going to keep your spaceship, and it's going to start my Navy. And then they steal the ship back. And then there's a really tender goodbye scene where Lewis and Clark, who fell in love over the course of the movie, Clark has to let Lewis go, and Lewis cruises off into the universe. And then Clark.
Does that sound like Jefferson's starship?
Well, there's titles like that,
yeah.
Right? Where it's like the title is like something that gets referenced, you know. Mm-hmm. Jefferson's going to call it Jefferson's starship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's like that.
Okay.
It's like a thematic thing.
Okay. Okay.
So that's the first. I've done my movie. You guys can do your movie, and then we'll put them into a NCAA
competition. I'll put it this way. In my head, when I hear Jefferson's Starship, God damn it.
You're just going to do Starfish.
Okay, so what I see is a Star Trek-style like bridge, and it's Thomas Jefferson sitting in the middle, lean forward, okay. Being like, attack the Nebulars, and his like crew of slaves.
So it's like
Thomas Jefferson like leaned forward in his seat, like, you know, attack the glomulorbs, and it's like, Captain, we're getting a hail. It's like, put him on the screen, you know. And it's like,
what happens if it's like that Twilight Zone episode where I never saw it, but there's a
good
the guy, does he like go into Vietnam and becomes a Vietnamese person and then realizes racism's bad? Isn't that like a famous episode?
Yes, this is go on.
I was gonna say, like,
go
Thomas on. Jefferson. Like,
that's what everyone wants.
Thomas Jefferson gets sent out of space, and yes, he gets mistaken for a ship's captain, and he goes on this crazy Star Trek journey, and then learns.
And he's woke by the end.
He's woke by the end, but when here's the problem.
Like,
I know, I don't want him to be woke at the end.
Here's the real problem with like racism, like a guy racist learning to not be racist movies, like racists learning racism is bad movies.
Yeah,
is that just they what they wind up communicating is the theme of like, oh, those racists weren't that bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like
a lesson.
Yeah, but it's like, but you like, I would rather not.
But that arc
I don't want to do
false...
Green Book in space. I'll put it that way.
Shit, but we would. But Will, Green Book won the Academy Award.
The best movie, Will.
Star Wars meets Green Book. That's what this movie is. Okay.
Okay.
Or I was just thinking that, like, they're always like, I don't know what this is. I was just thinking that people are always like, man, where's President Jefferson? He's like, oh, you know, he's in a starship again. Like, I don't know. Like, he just has a starship.
Yeah. The idea of like him, like, just dipping in on foreign dignitaries, like, by hovering over them, being like, guess what? America fucking rules. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, cool.
Okay.
It does not make any sense, and there's no movie there. It's a funny YouTube video.
Like that they found this spaceship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know what? Here's what we'll do. Where did the band get their name?
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe let's get Thomas
back it up.
fuck Thomas Jefferson.
Hey, Thomas Jefferson, suck it. Monticello was boring, and your fucking tourist shit there sucked. The t-shirt sucked. The little penny thing, I still have it, sucked. Just a big old nerd. That's what I got from visiting Monticello when I was 11. It was like, I remember going there, and my uncle was like, wow, look at all this in his journals and stuff. I'm like, this guy sounds like a big old fucking nerd.
Oh, it's just something. This isn't that interesting an origin story. Guitarist Jorma Kaukonen came up with the name based on the name of a friend's dog. 2007 press release quoted him as saying, I had this friend, Steve, in Berkeley, who came up with funny names for people. His name for me was Blind Thomas Jefferson Airplane. That's where they got it.
Wait, what's your dog?
Well, that was, I don't know why, it's just, it's a bad Wikipedia article.
Because a dog owning a spaceship.
Now, a dog named Jefferson who needs to pilot a spaceship to save his owners is something that I can get behind.
But there is Thomas Jefferson in a spaceship. Yeah, seems like the most.
I know, and someone's powdering his wig, and he's like,
but is the bad guy of the movie?
Yeah, but is it back then or is it today? Is it like finding Thomas Jefferson's spaceship?
I think it's, okay, just like, okay, go ahead.
Maybe the reason Thomas Jefferson and John Adams died on the same day, they didn't really die on the same day.
You're saying they faked it?
They went into their spaceship so they could freeze themselves because they were like, we represent the two sides of American discourse. We represent liberalism and conservatism, and we need our minds to last because we know deep in the future.
Oh, it's America's like Demolition Man.
Yeah, like
Thomas Jefferson was like, death will never claim me, and then he sent himself into the future and in a starship, and then John Adams was like, in order to kill him, I must follow him into the future. And so John Adams froze himself on the day that Thomas Jefferson died.
Yes.
And so it's like activate president protocol. So in the future, it's John Adams hunting down Thomas Jefferson on Jefferson, because he gets to the future, and he's like, where's Thomas Jefferson? They're like, he's on Jefferson's starship. Or he is a starship now, like Shodan and System Shock.
Oh shit! Okay. Oh no, that's a good third act turn. Is that Thomas Jefferson uploads? He kills Thomas Jefferson. Like he stabs him with like the original quill that was used to sign the Declaration of Independence
or
some shit.
Nice.
And then like as he's dying, he's like, "You'll never kill me." And his eyes like flicker back, and all of a sudden he notices his eyes have like digital stuff, and it's like very clear his consciousness is absorbed into the spaceship. It's like, oh no, we've unleashed him. Yes, because it was, you know, the day they died.
No, what happened?
They fucking died on the 4th of July.
Whoa.
On the same day, John Adams' last words were, Jefferson lives. And he was wrong because Jefferson had died like 6 hours before him.
But he wasn't wrong. It was a warning.
Exactly.
It was a warning.
Because again, they were bitter political enemies. They were bitter political enemies. And then as they both got old and they were sitting around their houses all the time, they just wrote to each other and just discussed politics all the time. And they did. They kind of represented the two souls, per se, of like the original America, like where America could go. So taking it that like, no, they weren't friends. This was all long gone.
And John Adams was like, he was like not gross, right? Or was he?
No, I like John Adams a lot.
Okay, was he comparatively not gross?
Would you be
comfortable doing a movie where he's the hero? That's
oh yeah, I, okay. and I fucking love John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams is one of the great abolitionists of that
okay,
time.
Okay, maybe it is John Quincy Adams, because hear me out. Okay. John Adams said Jefferson lives on his deathbed.
Yeah.
And then John Quincy Adams was haunted his whole life, being like, it doesn't make sense. Why did he say Jefferson lives?
He knew
we
he
got
died.
The telegram.
Yeah,
he knew
he died. He knew he died.
And then like you would do your first act is like he just got done with the Amistad trial, mm-hmm. and then he has the epiphany where he figures it out, and he's like, damn it, I have to travel into the future to stop Thomas Jefferson.
Or you do it like a Highlander thing where all the John Quincy Adams have been told.
Wait,
like,
what? All the John all Quincy Adams?
You lost me at the plural.
I just like the idea. It's like a normal kid in our time or whatever, and he's surprised. Like he's like, oh, you start with him doing like a show and tell at school or whatever.
Oh, so
and
he's like,
related. I'm the great 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 grandson of John Quincy Adams. That's why I'm JQ or whatever. And it's like he gets a message, and it's like, all the John Quincy's are told that someday
the Quincy Initiative.
Yes. Someday the Jefferson Starship will return. It's been floating outside of time and space to come back to destroy America was most vulnerable.
And now it's his most vulnerable because America's more divided than ever, man.
Oh my God, guys.
Okay. What was Thomas Jefferson's plan? Let's talk about Thomas because this definitely hinges on why it did. Ignoring the how for a second,
yeah.
how he
it
got
really
the
does
spaceship.
Depend on why Thomas Jefferson got in a spaceship and blasted off into space.
Yeah, why was he like?
Well, no, there's just what's crazy about space. light speed travel. It was only a day for Thomas Jefferson, but it was 200 years for us.
So he comes back. He's like, well, how come you guys don't have slaves? This is his first thing. No,
the movie, Thomas Jefferson, if Thomas Jefferson does not fucking drop from the sky, buck naked and slam into the earth like Terminator 2 and then go walk up to someone and beat the shit out of them to get their clothes, I walk right now.
Okay, we'll go with it. We're going with Thomas Jefferson is in
the truck stop.
Terminator
somewhere.
Mode.
Yeah.
Oh, because what you do is like, it's like,
oh, and then he goes into it's like he goes into like the dressing room for like a local production of Hamilton. It's like dee 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 dee. He's like powdered wig. Powdered I need wig. Your wig.
Your wig.
Your bouffant.
Your wig. Your bouffant. Give them to me.
And he's like, I'm here. I'm Thomas Jefferson. They're like, you're not Latino. And he's like, wait. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Your wig, your bouffant, and your horse.
Okay. So then what I'm imagining is, okay, because he died when he was old, but his consciousness is in a ship. Because now I'm imagining if he went onto the Jefferson starship, it would be loaded Matrix style with just a bunch of Jeffersons.
Like
just a bunch of buff ass. Because again,
Buffersons,
like,
if Buffersons. You will.
Because he's been.
Jefferson husks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, like he has like.
Various
meat
bodies.
Suits.
Yeah, because if he, cause, like, he died when he was like 80 or something, so he's not gonna drop like in order for him, because that'd be one of the mysteries, like why is he young and buff?
Well, because of the Lazarus pit he has on board the spaceship.
Oh, he's been training like
maybe it was
like
it
that
was,
montage in Old Boy, but again this was self-afflicted, like he put himself in a spaceship. It's just him punching a wall for like 200
yeah,
years
like,
in
it's
a
like
spaceship.
While you in America grew weak with your politics, I was studying the blade. You know,
the nebulars.
Yeah, under the gravity of a thousand stars.
Suns, I de-aged. The phantom zone of the nebula kept my blood young. It's like he went around
what
the universe getting strong.
You did that. Okay, here you go. Here you go. Here's the ancient prophecy. Is you do? He found the ancient alien spaceship, right? And it was this ancient alien race that was searching for the fountain of youth, mm-hmm. right? And they thought it was on Earth, but it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But they found the location. Like if you read the stone, if you line up Stonehenge and the pyramids and this and that and the other, they all point to the Fountain of Youth in space, mm-hmm. right? And
that was the problem. We've been only looking on Earth.
So, and the Fountain of Youth is basically like this black hole that if you fly the spaceship into the black hole, you will come back out immortal on the other side. But it will take like 500 years, and then so you do that. That so or however long from the 4th of July to the 4th of July
like
in this story.
Oh, okay, having it have to take place on the 4th of
there's
July.
There's some good
correct.
Stuff. Okay, because look, what Thomas Jefferson, when he got like John Adams was still pretty involved in like politics, like mm-hmm. you know, when he had his son in politics. But
as
then,
all self-righteous windbags are.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, John Adams was awesome. He was just a big self-righteous windbag, but in relative terms, he was pretty dope. Thomas Jefferson was just freaking nerding around his house all the time. What was he doing? He's fucking studying space.
He went mad.
But he's like, here's the purpose. Because I was like, oh, what is the purpose? Again, they talked a lot. He was talking to John Adams about like what the, you know, what the future of America lies. Like, you know, what's going to happen? You know, how's the Constitution going to adapt and stuff? Mm-hmm. And Thomas Jefferson was very much, you know, again, he was socialite. He went out to France. He learned from others. So what is he doing in outer space? He's exploring and learning from all governments because he's going to come back. He's going to come back with the new constitution.
Whoa.
Yes, like the perfect form of human government. He's
which
finally
is, of course, enslavement.
Yeah, which is, of course, horrible. No, that's the thing. Is like, he's like, you don't understand, John Adams. I created the perfect government, but we must destroy all of humankind in order to get there. Whatnot. And what you do is at the end, when he finally defeats Thomas Jefferson, he should open up the constitution that he wrote. And he looks and he's like, my God, it's beautiful.
Wait, what? It's like a good constitution?
No. It's like the equivalent of like it'd be like that. It's no person like my God. You realize that all human government is bad. And we should all be dead. But yeah, he's gone mad. He's and also because he studied all over the galaxy. Yes, like how could he form a government knowing the entire secrets of the entire universe? All the different
what is the point of governance?
All the forms of culture and societies he saw across in his Jefferson starship, which is now a traveling.
It's a museum of all the places he studied, and then it was like it was like he became the duly elected ruler of like 12 million different worlds just to master their political systems.
It's like the Declaration of Independence was like his catcher in the ride. He just could never make that second book. That's good. He could never publish it. So he's, again, he wasn't going to die without making another document as powerful and important to the state of what how humans should govern themselves. So he fucking froze. He found, I will get to how he gets a spaceship. But he's like, I'm going to study. And I'm going to, when I come back, I'm going to have the perfect form of human government. And then, of course, he looked down upon his starship and saw. And then John Adams' family would be like, yes, America's divided. That's because people are complicated creatures. And together, we'll find, it's like for human government is for us to solve our differences.
You know, I just read this book, actually, that's pretty interesting, that kind of gets to this kind of thing, about arguments. The book's called Winning Arguments. And he talks about how,
required reading when we're friends with Matt, huh? Yes. Right?
I think that's the sequel, Enduring Arguments.
Oh, right. He
talks about, his kind of view of argument is that, argument is this never-ending thing, right? It is just, and then argument is this constant. And it's it changes and shifts and, especially in the political environment, it's a very fluid kind of thing. You would do that. Thomas Jefferson wanted to conquer argument, right? Mm-hmm. He was like, I want to come up with, again, I'm going to go search for essentially a universal truth and come down and dictate it to everybody. Yeah. Right? I'm going to find the perfect form of government. And John Adams is like, there is no perfect form of government because there's no perfect form of man. We are all second to God, right? And it's like, all we can do is do our best and we're going to, argue with each other. But all we can hope is to argue passionately and to have something good come from that.
Yeah, I like that. Again, one really simplified version of, one of the many differences, Thomas Jefferson was definitely much more romantic in the term of has a lot of, more libertarian and slave owners back then were, which is like, man is great. So let men be men. And John Adams' main conclusion and a lot of the Federalists at that time was, if man was good, we wouldn't need governments. Governments are to make man, who's not great, as good as possible to each other.
But I like that this sort of search for perfect truth and knowledge took Thomas Jefferson down a destructive path, right? And now he is blind to his own foibles and flaws and is coming to he sees it as liberating mankind from its problems, but he's really just imposing
his will. he's like the paperclip AI for a form of human
government. Yeah. Okay, this is very good. Okay.
And what I like is our in is this what's the fucking character's name in Transformers? Zick Wiki Wiki Wick or whatever, what's his name?
It's Sam Wiki Wiki.
Sam Witwicky.
Witwicky. Sam Witwicky.
Sam Witwicky.
Okay. But
let's make it a girl. I feel like the last couple of have been pretty Brozone episodes. So she can still be an ancestor of John Adams.
For sure.
Okay. Jane Adams.
Yeah, but similar to Transformers, it's he gets the glasses where he realizes he's a relative or whatever. He's destined for some shit or whatever.
Oh, do they do that?
Yeah, I forget why that in false Transformers. his glass. Oh, it was the Transformers zapped. The language of the Transformers were zapped on his Explorer grandfather's glasses. Remember, he had those old glasses?
What? That's not in Transformers.
That's in Transformers, guys.
The first one?
First one. He's in class.
I thought it's just he got his
He's in
cool
class. He's doing show and tell,
car.
And he's showing his old grandfather's glasses. It's a weird movie. Go back and watch it. So anyways, so you have but it's she, again, it's you're in kind of this modern story where she's going to find out that, or she's already proud of her legacy, I guess, of being a John Quincy relative.
It feels like the movie starts with an insane prologue.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Where that ends with Thomas Jefferson. He's trying to stop Thomas Jefferson from blasting off in the spaceship, right? Because he's and then maybe is there something that the spaceship did when it blasted off that's
why? Oh, it hit him with radiation.
Oh, and that's why he died. Oh, no, but I was gonna say, why was he trying to stop Thomas Jefferson from blasting off of this?
He found out Thomas Jefferson sent him a letter, finally explaining what he's going to do.
Oh, and he was just there to stop his friend.
And he's very old. And John, the intro is he gets the letter. He reads Thomas Jefferson's letter. You cut to Thomas Jefferson. You think he's on his deathbed. Mm-hmm. And you see a letter going to John Adams. And he reads it. He goes, and he runs out the door. He's like, no, father. They try to stop him. He's running out in the wind. And he has a heart attack. And he falls. And the letter falls in the mud and disappears. So nobody else knows what was said in that letter. Of course, the letter was Thomas Jefferson being telling him what he's going to do. I'm going to outer space to solve mankind or whatever.
And then, we see his Jefferson's starship
you
take
see
off.
The Jefferson starship take
Jefferson
off.
Lives and then
and well they pull him into the room dad why did he run outside he's choking and they're like Jefferson lives and he dies they're like oh that poor man Jefferson died 6 hours ago and then you cut to Thomas Jefferson in a fucking starship and he flies out of the screen and title slams in sweet chrome letters Jefferson Starship
desert chrome okay Jefferson Starship and then we cut to history class and Jane Adams
talking about the death of John,
13
right? Yeah.
Is in class. Does she have to be okay, here's the other thing I was saying.
No, she'd be cool. She'd be 20 or something.
No. I feel like it's a kid. Okay. But we'll get to that in a second. What I was going to say is, is it she's a this is her blood ancestor, or do you do that there's some sort of like riddle in the John Adams household when you do the John Adams tour, like in Monticello, and then like if you're smart enough to figure out the riddle, like the secret door will open. And then, you know, so we start with her and she's on the debate stage, right? Because she does speech and debate with her high school. And then, you know, so we see that she has like the true Adams pedantic gas bag spirit. And,
that's fun.
I feel like she would even like hang on to being like, have a little chip on her shoulder because she's like related to John Quincy and John Adams. I feel like you could actually do that. She knows it might be a little bit rather than like it being like a mystery. And then she's like, oh, I'm destined more like because there's maybe like a sense of responsibility. There's something on like she doesn't feel like,
okay.
Our generation feels like we can't be. It's like for her, she'd be like, my ancestors were great. They did great things. Like back then people could be great. And nowadays, what can an individual person do? Right. It's this kind of nihilism that you could get from kind of like
you do that. She. Okay, this is her first act. They're going to see this new play, Hamilton. She's so excited. I heard it's about the founding fathers. You know, she's bragging to everybody on the bus. You know, my dad, my great-great-great-grandfather was John Adams. It's so cool. That's like why I'm pretty super into speech and debate and blah, blah, blah. And then they see Hamilton, and then John Adams is the fucking punchline of every joke in Hamilton. And then she gets on the bus, and the end, and everyone's making fun of her.
The whole time, they're like, when does John Adams show? I was like, oh, it'll be any second. It'll be any second. When he's going to show up, it'll be any second, it'll be any second. And then, yes, I think the only time John Adams shows up is they just make fun of him in the King of England speech. When they're like,
oh, then Hamilton makes fun of him, too. And
yeah.
Thomas Jefferson calls him a fat, bald motherfucker,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah,
you could do, or it could just be like a side thing that like she's like, Hamilton's really popular, guys. I want to do the musical about my ancestor, John Adams. And no one fucking wants to. And they're like, you mean the shitty guy that wasn't even cool enough to be in Hamilton? She's like, John Adams was cool, I'll show you. And then she's researching, because she's like the biggest John Adams fan on earth.
Yeah.
Because this is like all she has as far as a personality and identity goes. Because she's an awkward teenager, she discovers, wait a second, like she finds some scrap of the letter or someone mentioned this thing, and she's like, the great mystery of his life is why he said Jefferson lives.
Yeah, exactly. It's the second part of what he said. He said Jefferson lives, we must stop him.
Yes.
Like that was omitted from the history books.
Yes, it'd be like if that paper or whatever fell in the mud, it'd be like
you know, it'd be a great crisis that you do for her too. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. You do at some point, she finds out she's not related to John Adams. Do you know what I mean? This was just something her mom told her.
To Thomas Jefferson.
He's like, I am your ancestor. Don't you see?
Around a lot. Most people have some Jefferson DNA in them.
Then you could do, because that could be a real crisis of faith moment for her. And then you realize that, like, no, the true spirit of John Adams is anyone who's willing to win an argument to lose a friendship.
Don't you see? It was inside you
It's a little bit like, it's not exactly the same, but like I feel like the energy is a little bit like that Simpsons episode where Lisa realizes that her
Jebediah Springfield's a fraud.
Oh, well, yeah, that actually a lot of Lisa episodes, I guess. That one, and then also the moment where she realizes that, like, they all get dumb later. Like, again, she has this, like, kind of...
The Simpson gene.
Yes. She feels great at first, and then, like, just nobody really cares about John Adams, and then, like, I feel like, again, like, she does poorly on debate because she gets upset, and, like, even the future of this country, she's just kind of feeling like, yeah, maybe my ancestors weren't great. Maybe I'm not great. Like, what's going on? But she's like, again, she's still yearning for something. She's yearning for an answer.
Okay, so I like this first act. And we cut from Thomas Jefferson dying, or from Jefferson lives.
We constantly cut to essentially the exact same shot they use in Asteroid. Just every time Michael Bay's like, shit, people might be bored for 5 minutes, that he suddenly just cuts to the shot of the asteroid. Approaching Earth, and they just cut back to the movie. You just keep doing that. You just keep cutting to a starship with like
Space hints. King Thomas Jefferson.
Yes.
has like bejeweled eyeballs now.
Yes. Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. So, what are you saying? Sorry.
Okay. So, I like our. So, we have our opening, you know, little bit, and then you have her, you know, trying to get people to join the cast of Adams or John Adams musical, hip hop musical.
Yes.
This is how you introduce the character, and this is how you introduce what she's all about, is that they're doing the rehearsal, right? And she's cajoled a couple of her friends into just like, all right, fine, I guess you said this is gonna help me get chicks, right? All right, I'll play John Adams in your thing. And then she like keeps calling cut because he keeps doing things not the way John Adams would have done that. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, and that's how you also get your exposition out about John Adams, right? And it's the death scene, right? This is the emotional climax of the thing, right?
I only to play John Adams because you're Abigail, and I thought they kissed a lot. They're both very Puritan. They did not kiss very often. It's like, oh, okay, well, I don't want to do this play anymore. Okay. I'm glad sometime, though. It's like, no.
So, okay, so she's doing this play, and then, of course, yeah, you have, like, her lead actor quits, right? Yes. Or the only other actor. Everyone else had quit. So she's like, I'll put on this damn show by myself. I don't care.
Monologues.
I don't know exactly what the inciting incident is. Is it that she... It feels like it has to be a combination of, like, Jefferson's coming, yeah, right? And then, but it also has to be her discovering the mystery, right?
So you want to play the arrival of Jefferson as its own thing.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Is it like a worldwide
event?
Or can you do an
alien thing where he shows up and puts an ultimatum out, right? Like,
is it like Independence Day where a big ship just hangs overhead and everybody knows there's a starship here? Is it like Terminator where Thomas Jefferson lands on Earth and nobody knows what's going on and he's doing something?
So a UFO showing up over Washington.
Yeah, because it's Jefferson's starship.
Jefferson's starship shows up.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, what's the deal with this starship? And she's like, who cares? Well, I'm trying to get my playmate.
Who cares? We should learn more about John Adams.
The most realistic character we've ever come up with. But you would do like, we got to figure out what Thomas Jefferson wants.
I can see it kind of merging together where it's like, you see the UFO coming. She's up in her family's like study, or you know, broken into a place so she can like look through John Adams' papers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like we're seeing the starship land, everybody's going chaos, and she's going through, and she finds like the moment she finds like he's coming, the like starship stops over the White House, and she comes running down. She's like, "Dad, I figured out something." He's like, "Look," and then it's like she realizes that like it kind of happens at once. Like the moment she realizes he's coming, she sees the starship.
Is it weird that he's already on Earth? Thomas Jefferson. Do we do like Thomas Jefferson's like flesh suit robo assassin blade lands onto the fucking streets? Like, what does he want? Let's just to take it. I get what this great. Okay, so she's gonna discover something's afoot. Mm-hmm. Thomas, the Jefferson, the Adams line has always prepared themselves to defend against Thomas Jefferson upon his return from outer space, and like now that duty befalls onto her, yes, right? Like and she's gonna have to lead a resistance to Thomas Jefferson
against the Jeffersonians.
The Jefferson. Maybe Thomas Jefferson takes over Washington.
Yeah, I can see that. Either he takes over Washington, or maybe it's like kind of like Thomas Jefferson's the Cthulhu of the story, and there's Jeffersonians going around, and they're trying to send a home. Like Thomas Jefferson needs a beacon to return back home.
Oh, like he has an advanced war party that they're going to open the Nexus Gate so that he can emerge from it and come to and visit his reign upon Earth. Like, are there Jefferson cultists who are like waiting for the return of Jefferson? Like a sort of like a like the, you know like the kind of like it's kind of a Dan Brown kind of way.
Oh, she should find. Oh, okay. Do you know what you do? By the way, she teams up with a late ancestor of Hamilton, and you could literally do it's like a little like teen squad.
Oh, the kid. Yeah. Oh, you do a romance with the kid who's a Hamilton. Hamiltonian ancestor.
He's like, no, our ancestors didn't get along very well. He didn't agree with my grandfather's economic policies.
Okay.
She's like, we're so cool. More kids should talk about the founding fathers. That's the problem with kids these days. He's like, I know, right? All they do is play Fortnite. He's like, who are these 13-year-olds?
Where's my George Washington downloadable skin? How come they don't put Mount Rushmore in Fortnite? How come?
How about a little Valley Forge night? How about that?
Oh, shit. You know what's a good different movie? Is fucking one of the good things is George Washington never had children, which is one of the benefits. Like, it really showed that he wasn't a king, mm-hmm, because there was no chance of him having, but like, he did have a kid. They need to find George Washington, an ancestor of George Washington. Anyways, Jefferson is the starship and him is a question.
Okay.
What's his plan?
Okay.
What's Jefferson's plan?
Well, Jefferson's going, he wants to take over the earth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To prove that he found the ultimate form of government.
Yes.
Right? So.
He's like, make me dictator of you people.
Yeah, but like, is what is his? So first, my question is, what is his ultimate form of government? And then it feels like, do you do something where like he's going to come and he's going to like hold an election?
The ultimate form of government is everybody just becomes him.
So yeah, they merge to his hive mind.
Yeah, it's gonna be a hive
mind. He scoured the universe and found all these societies, and everywhere he went, he saw crumbling and death.
Mm-hmm.
And civilizations either entertaining themselves to death or killing themselves to nuclear war.
The only place that was perfect was in his own mind.
Exactly. And so he's like, and then he found the civilization that actually managed to achieve it. It was like a hive mind situation, like civilization or whatever. But he's like, if we all merge into my brilliant consciousness, we live forever and it's order and beauty. And we have it.
Oh, so he, what he discovered is that as he scoured space learning about the various governments right. of alien species and stuff like that. Because at first he thought, because he found the ancient alien spaceship, and he's like, whoever created this spaceship must be a far greater society right. than ours, right? Like, we can barely get out of bed in the morning. Oh, these guys figured it out. So then he went and found those aliens.
And they didn't exist anymore.
Or they did exist, but he thought they were pathetic, so he conquered them. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was like, and then he went scouring more and more. And then what he found out was, he's like, he had already discovered the perfect society. It was his ship with him. Right.
Yeah, like, I like it. No, because what you could do is the ship wasn't just a spaceship, because obviously you'd be impressed by that because he was a science nerd. But the ship the ship was full of brilliant political ideas, and he had to go find them. And again, that would be the secret at the end when he's finally talking to him. He's like, don't you understand? I did find the people who made this perfect form of government. They had destroyed themselves. No form of government can stop humanity from destroying themselves. There's only one perfect form of government, and that's right here. That's me. Like, it's like, we're all me. I can stop it. I can make peace. So you understand. How's he going to do that?
Merge everyone into his butt.
So that you will all go in my butt.
Butt is just the name of my starship, though.
The Jefferson Starship is just the name I gave my butt.
That's the real secret, Jane. There is no starship.
It's been my butt the whole time. Get it?
There's a tiny starship in my butt. Okay.
Now there's a starship in his butt. Okay.
You do that. Is like, does his elaborate plan... This is very stupid. Like, he's going to run for president again. Like, he comes back with his spaceship and he's like, I'm going to run for president of America. And then she has to stop him by...
She has to bring back John Adams, who lost the election to Thomas Jefferson.
Old scores will be settled.
And then John Adams is like, no. It's like,
John Adams just has a bushy beard and is chopping down trees somewhere.
John, we need you.
He brings back from dead. And then it's like, oh, yes, this is so fucking good, because she's shitty at debate at the beginning, right? She needs to fucking bring, she realizes, she's like, oh, this is what I need to do. I need to reclaim the glory of the Adams name. Adams was the first-term president, because he lost to Thomas Jefferson massively. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
So she's Thomas Jefferson is wiping the floor. Everybody wants Thomas Jefferson. How can you not vote for fucking Thomas Jefferson, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, it's Thomas Jefferson, but now I don't believe in slavery. Well, 100% approval rating. We're going to vote for him. She's like, I need to bring back John Adams. Like, that's the destiny. And then he's going
to
beat him. And
why would she want to bring back John Adams, the guy who lost to him?
But she loves, right? That's part of the problem.
He was
the
only guy like her who could resist his charm.
And then, he's like, it's not me that needs to beat him. It's you. So she fucking debates Thomas Jefferson, and she is elected president of the United States of America.
Like, she's like, okay, so this 13-year-old girl becomes kid president.
Yes.
Barring that, how she decides to run for president thing. All right, I love him coming back to win an election, because this is phase one, right? Like, once he gains control of the U.S. government, he can instill his new doctrine. And again, like, oh, because you do, what is he saying? I'm for universal healthcare now, but we're going to have Jefferson clinics all over. Yeah. Universal healthcare. We're going to have Jefferson clinics on every block, but really those clinics, like in XCOM 2, are injecting you full of the mind virus DNA that he's going to use to control everybody.
The low point turn is that she uncovers what's happening, and this is why she needs to freaking call John Adams, is because she finds out what's happening and reveals it. Again, Thomas Jefferson is such a good politician and so beloved and charismatic. He turns around and goes, yeah, that is my plan. My plan is that you're all going to become Thomas Jeffersons and this world's going to be in peace. And everybody fucking loves it. And she's like, again, it's like she has to win. She has to prove her point to such an nth degree. She has to not only beat Thomas Jefferson in a debate, but she has to convince the entire world who agrees with his idea.
And you know, for her,
liberty and pursuit of happiness is still something worth pursuing, Thomas Jefferson. Look at your original words, goddammit. Sort of thing.
That's really good. I like that a lot. Okay, here we go.
Get all America going boo whenever she says, like, boo, we want to become Thomas Jefferson. Boo,
let us merge with the Jeffersonian hive mind. Boo,
like, Loki is not this simpler.
Yes, exactly. But everybody buys it.
Starring Tom Hiddleston as Thomas Jefferson.
He'd be a good Thomas Jefferson.
Huh? He would be a good Thomas Jefferson. Yeah. A little thirsty Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson was a little thirsty.
Okay.
back then.
Moving on. Okay, so here we go. Mm-hmm. Act one, she's putting on her John Adams play, right? And she's flunking out a speech and debate. And again, this is the theme stated thing, right? Yeah. Is the guy, the speech and debate person says, like, yeah, you're right. Like, you make good arguments, yeah, but it's not just what you say, it's how you say it, right? Say it. Rhetoric is all about the, it's not just about being right. Like, a great rhetorician, a great debater, you know, like, it's the way they make their argument is how they, and she's like, that's bullshit. People should be smart enough to tell right from wrong.
He's like, you should watch this play Hamilton. They talk about it. You need the votes. She's like, I know, I've watched Hamilton, goddammit. Well, he learned the lesson. I'm not Hamilton.
Yeah. So
you're right, but you're an asshole, essentially.
Yeah, you're not wrong, you're an asshole. So then you do that. So she's trying to put on the John Adams play, right?
There should be some pedantic thing that she refuses to give up on the debate, and so she goes hunting for the answer. Like, it's like literally something small. It's like John Adams never says, like, he did say that, and it's like, I can't find it. She's like, I heard it, like, I know. So she's like going through the library.
Here's what I was gonna say. Just give me a second. Because, yeah, I think you do, she's, you know, whatever, but
yeah,
you do your. An inciting incident is that Thomas Jefferson's starship shows up.
Yes.
Thomas Jefferson beams down and, like, the return of Christ says, I have come back. You know, yes. I have mastered the technologies of the universe and I will bring them to America if you elect me your president.
Yes.
Right? Like, I'm running for president. And they're like, all right, you can run for president. Yeah. Right? And so
one of your founding fathers has returned. Like, again, America's so desperately in need of
it. And so now, she was on the eve of the great premiere of her John Adams play, but now the whole fucking country has Jefferson fever,
yes,
right? And so the principal's like, we would rather do a Thomas Jefferson play than a John Adams play, so we're going to cancel your play. She's like, no! Yes. So can you make Thomas Jefferson a bigger character in the play? Like, I just feel like, so you do, you need somehow, like, she, it's like, well, you have that fun second act, right, of she's like, that Jefferson's up to something, right? Like, haven't you guys seen that Twilight Zone episode? Like, he's up to something, he's up to no good, Thomas Jefferson, I don't trust him, right? Never. I was like, give me a break. So she's like pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And then you would do, she discovers something,
their
letter or whatever. And she's like, holy shit. She discovers the mystery cave behind the John Adams Memorial House, or deciphers the journal, or whatever.
The spaceship.
Playing
and on the
spaceship. Just got to say, Thomas Jefferson would be such a fucking fun role because by Thursday, I mean, like, he was charming and beloved. Like, people loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of this guy coming down and just being so woke and be like, no, like, understand these 200 years I've learned a lot. Like, slavery was wrong. Like, how can you not vote for, this is Thomas Jefferson with all the bad parts. Look at this dude. This dude's amazing. Like, how can you beat him? And she's the only one who's like, I don't know. Something's up with him.
Yeah.
Like, he's literally the best founding father made better.
And that was like, that's his campaign slogan.
So, okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
Thomas Jefferson, the original best founding father. It's like, well, I guess we got to vote for him.
Something, I feel like you need an Obi-Wan Kenobi, or you need an Ian McKellen, not Ian McKellen. You need like a, who sucks her into this mystery? Again, maybe there's the kid. Oh, again. Okay, you do. It's the other kid who is the Hamilton nerd, right?
Yeah.
Who's Hamilton's ancestor, or thinks he's Hamilton's ancestor, or whatever. He's also sniffed, because Hamilton didn't like Jefferson either, right? And so it's the two of them together. Like, he's got one half of the clue, she's got the other half of the clue, right? And it was like, you do that, they like clink their pens together, and then like a Jor-El projection of John Adams shows up, and he's like, I don't know.
That's very good.
And they're like, you need to expose Jefferson and stop him, right?
Yes.
So then, Act 3, they get jobs. Okay, as campaign aides
people.
On the Thomas Jefferson campaign to help capture the youth vote, right? And so then they're worming their way closer to Thomas Jefferson. And then you do again, like, the Hamilton kid is like a charming theater nerd, right? And she's like a pedantic speech and debate nerd, right? And they don't get along, they have friction, right? But they're working together against their common enemy, Thomas Jefferson. And as they're snooping around finding this mystery in the third act, they discover the horrifying truth, which is that, you know, like, I don't know.
Thomas Jefferson's perfect plan isn't universal.
It's a hive mind.
It's universal. Thomas Jefferson mind. Yeah. You know, they're starting attacked by Jeffersonians, and you know, it's essentially like the climax of Serenity, but put in the third act, where it's like, they got to get the message out, and they do it. They like successfully reveal like Thomas Jefferson's plan, but maybe because they've also done such a good job campaigning, again, like, the world is so desperate for any answer that even when they find it, they're all okay with it. And she can't believe it. And it's like, again, she knows she's right, but now she can't, nobody's going to listen to her. And it's like, yeah. So I'm trying. And then, the low points, I guess, that we should give up. I guess we're going to become Thomas Jefferson at the end of this. Hamilton kid's like, I'd rather be Sean.
Okay. Here's what you do. Mm-hmm. Here's what you do.
This is my hole. They walk in, they all become Thomas Jefferson.
You do. It's all about, like, because the Hamilton kid, like, because Hamilton is better at debating than Thomas Jefferson. Not better than John Adams. You would do, like, it's going to be like, we're going to get this information, and then you're going to, you know, do X, Y, and Z. But then, like, he gets taken out at the low point, and then she's got to do it, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, remember what I told you?
It feels like they need to be trapped in the spaceship.
Yeah, they need to find the spaceship. That's how she finds out it's a hive mind, is that she goes and she finds the captain's log.
Oh, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's not the spaceship at first. Maybe they don't find the spaceship. Maybe it's like...
The White House is the spaceship.
How did Thomas Jefferson come back? Did we do the Thomas and
Jefferson? Wait,
no,
wait,
they're
wait,
like,
wait,
oh,
wait,
no,
wait,
no,
wait,
no,
wait,
no, 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 thing.
The War of 1812.
The War of what? What? I don't understand.
No, that's to the timeline doesn't matter.
You lost me out.
Oh, because we do. Isn't the second White House? Isn't this the second White House?
Oh, so you're saying the War of 1812 was a cover for them to burn down the White House, but secretly the White House was blasting off into space.
Which is like 30 years before Thomas Jefferson died, but...
So it was a clone. It was a projected
clone.
He
left behind a Jeffer clone to take his place on Earth, right? And then the Jeffer clone, racked with guilt, confessed on his deathbed. So that was what he learned when he said Jefferson lives.
That's okay.
Okay, that's pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
Good. Okay,
throw that All right. Okay, but here's what I was going to say. Yeah, you do. They're like, we got to get onto that spaceship.
Yeah.
You would do like, that's probably the arc of the third act.
Yeah.
Is like, the truth will be on that spaceship, right? Yeah. Like, you know, so like, we've got to get up there, you know? And so then how do they get up to the spaceship?
You know, movie stuff.
Well, no, you do that. Like, there is a here you go.
Catapult in Mount Rushmore.
Here you go.
Catapult of all things. I was gonna say like the Russian monument is a rocket, is an elevator. Actually, the top of the Russian monument, it keeps going. It's just invisible after a certain point, and it's an elevator.
That's why it's a no fly zone.
That's why it's a no fly zone. It's a freaking dock for the Jefferson Starship.
Lance.
Yeah, it's a Jefferson.
Or maybe
Starship
that dock. Was a weapon that Washington and
John Adams built to kill Tom Jefferson.
The Jefferson Killer. Okay.
Oh, and it's a mech fight at the end.
Okay, hear me out. Here's what I was gonna say: is you do that. There's like, it turns out how they get onto the spaceship, right? Like you do part of like his PR campaign because he's fucking slick. Is he like, he knows people want to see that spaceship. So he's like, I'm going to do an essay contest. And whoever can write the best essay on why America is great will get to go up onto the spaceship. And I'll do a tour of the spaceship with the winners, right? And so they're like, we got to win that essay contest or win that viral video contest or whatever.
Whoever makes the dopest vlog and gets the most likes.
If we can compel him to let us up, then we'll get in there, and then we'll sneak around when we're up there, and we'll do some detective work. So maybe act three is she and Hamilton Kid team up on this essay, right? And then they go to the library, and like you do that, clearly like there's the old man who's helping them, who's clearly John Adams, like, you know, that and like the founding spirit of America has kept him alive, like the last crusades or something like that.
Oh, that's good. I got like this just librarian. He just constantly complains, like, nobody goes to libraries anymore. Use your iPhones. I'm doing John Adams. What? No, nothing.
What? He's that old coot who thinks he's John Adams. Okay, so yeah, you do act three is about them trying to like write the best essay on why America is great, right? So it's just a great classic essay writing,
classic
third act.
Essay writing scene.
Or they have to put on the show, right? Like they have to put on their play or whatever. It's whatever. There's something that they shut up.
They're doing something.
They get onto the spaceship. Yes. And of course, what they don't realize is that they tipped their hand in the creation of that thing. And Thomas Jefferson saw it. Yes. And he was like, those two children know something, right?
They're the ancestors of my enemies.
They're the answer. But clearly, like, and again, because there's some reference to a thing that John Adams said that he only said to, like, or whatever, right?
Because
they found the secret journal of John Adams, right?
Yes.
They make a play in adoration of this new hip, you know, guy, political guy. And it's like, it's the Jeffersonian like musical.
Oh, here's what you do. Well, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Because you do again, like at the beginning of act two, the teacher's like, can you make it more about Thomas Jefferson? He's like, I refuse. I fucking walk. That guy sucks. And then, you know, then the Hamilton kid, who's the one who's like, you know, you got to learn. Again, it was like my ancestor learned how to be in the room where it happens. Like, you got to learn. He learned from Aaron Burr. You got to learn from Aaron Burr, too. We're going to write that Thomas Jefferson play. And it's going to be so good. And it's going to be such a good media story that the two of us are going to get invited up to that spaceship.
Okay.
Right? So then they against every instinct in her body, she has to write a play about how great Thomas Jefferson was. Right? And she's got to get the school together to put it on. It's a classic. It's small in the first half, big in the second half.
I like the idea is that like they win and then they're told the reward is they're going to perform this play in front of Thomas Jefferson on a spaceship. And then when they're on the spaceship, they perform the play, they find out the truth. So you have this tense scene where Thomas Jefferson's like, perform the play for me, children. And they know what he's doing. And they're doing the play. He's like studying this, like kind of like the scene in Inglourious Basterds where he's like serving them cream. It's like, you're like, does he know what
does
they know?
He know? They know they were on his, that he was on the spaceship. And that this place.
Play for me. Oh, because you do, everyone will be distracted during the play.
God, one of these.
Right? And
one
then
of
so
these.
While while everyone's distracted, she has to sneak into his office.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh my God.
And then you do, of course, she sneaks into his office while she thinks he's in the audience, and then he turns around in the chair. And it's like,
although, to be fair,
there's
multiple of them. It would be Thomas Jefferson is watching the play. He's also in his office. And that's how she finds out that is, yes, there's hive minds.
Or like the original Thomas Jefferson.
The original Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, she was like, how does he look so young? He's like, he's not so young.
He's like, kill me. Kill me.
Or it feels like this play and this whole intrigue around the play feels like a climax a little bit, doesn't it? Because then you can have the thing where they shoot Thomas Jefferson in the back of the head and be like, little trick we learned from a future president.
Oh, they do that.
Yeah.
And then he falls down. And then Thomas Jefferson, the other Thomas Jefferson shows up. It's like, it's not going to be that
easy. Here's what I got.
I love the idea that builds up to they're going to kill Thomas Jefferson. And they do. And then that's when he reveals, like, no, there's lots of Thomas Jefferson's because he's making a hive mind.
Here's what you got. Here's what you got. Here's what you got. Hear me out.
About 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, so I'm about to land this plane.
This Jefferson airplane.
Act 4 is them doing the Thomas Jefferson musical on Jefferson Starship. And meanwhile, the backstage intrigue of her sneaking into the office to get the goods to prove what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God, I just like drooled a little bit.
Well, no, you should. It's exciting right now. I'm getting so freaking pumped up.
You're making my lips. This podcast making my lips wet. All moist up in here.
I fucking hate you both so much. So you do Act 4. There's the play. She's sneaking around. She has the confrontation with Thomas Jefferson, right? And then there's some kind of low point crisis. She and the kid get captured, right? And they're
going to
get shot out the airlock while he, you know, unleashes the Jeffer virus on her classmates, right? And it's like, oh shit, what are we going to do? And you know, she and the other kid had some big falling out, and now they got to team up again.
Yeah.
And so here's what they're going to do: they take over the spaceship, right? They're going to fight their way to the helm, and then they're going to pilot it into the beam of the Washington Monument Lance, mm-hmm. right? And so then they got to go. They have to get a message out to the old fuddy duddy who works at the Washington Monument, who thinks he's John Adams, who really is John Adams, and then he's got to
activate the laser,
while they're flying it into the thing. And then you do that, like, she has to give a rousing speech to her classmates to mm-hmm. fight against Thomas Jefferson. That's the debate, right? And so then she and the classmates, she manages to inspire them. They fly the ship, and then you do, like, of course it gets zapped by the beam lance, and now the ship is crashing and they have to evacuate. And you have like a heroic last moment where someone goes down with the ship and then you cry your eyes out. She goes down with the ship, but then she survives. I don't know.
She survives the wreck. She climbs out. It's right in front of like Lincoln Memorial. And she's like, did we do it? And then from behind her, you hear, you did. And she looks like Abraham Lincoln. And then the marble statue of Lincoln goes and like winks at her. And he's like,
and I was going to say, it's a mech. And it's a Lincoln mech. Comes alive. And then she's like, oh, thank God we got a mech Lincoln. That's pretty dope. And he's like, I'm here to tell you, you must win by debating him. She's like, that's not helpful at all. He's like, believe in yourself.
I invented the LD debates. You need to do those. Those good debate format. I did it.
And that's all good, Wolf. Let me just throw a very boring American way to end this, which is, it is just a debate. It's a straight debate. In fact, Jefferson does the debate me coward then. Debate me, you coward. And they're going to debate.
Jefferson's blowing up her social.
So the end is, after the debate, everybody votes instantly. And one of the things you said about the beginning is, her dad's like, this country nowadays, I just don't vote anymore. I just don't want to vote. And it's like, at the end, the tally goes, and she wins by one vote. And it was her father. And it's like, and at the end, she goes, every vote counts. Everybody go out there and vote today. And you have this movie get released.
My war bond.
Okay. All right. So yes, that's what I would do, is that she busts into the office. Yeah. She discovers the horrible plan to turn everyone into Jefferson bots.
Yeah.
And then she gets captured.
Captured, do this big action. I think you just do all this big action stuff. And she blows up the starship and she thinks she's taking it out. And Thomas Jefferson still like comes out of the wreckage. And she's like, I'm not that easy. Like, but don't you get it? People love me. I'm Thomas Jefferson. Like, I have this. And she's like, then challenge me. And again, the one thing she's been scared of, again, she says something. She's like, challenge. You know what it is? He's about to walk away, and then she says some line that always bugged him that John Adams said in the letters. Mm-hmm. Like something that tease him off. And she says something, and he turns around. He's like, then debate me, you coward. And then on national television, she debates Thomas Jefferson.
Live from Pennsylvania. This is the CNN.
Okay, here's what you're doing. I think I got it. She gets captured, yeah. Right? The kid, her classmates get brainwashed into being Jefferson bots, right?
Oh, no.
And then she escapes by the skin of her teeth into an escape pod, right? Mm-hmm. And then you do her Hamilton friend turns into a Jefferson bot, too, yes. Right? So it's like your long dynamic.
Like school. Literally the last
She
thing
crash lands into the Washington, not the Washington River.
The reflecting pool,
right? And then skids up the steps to the Lincoln Monument, yes. Right? And then the spirit of Abraham Lincoln in the mech comes to life and says, I won't use my fists. I always used my brain and political skullduggery to get what I wanted. So hold on. So then you do the last presidential debate is that night,
yes.
Right?
Oh, and so yes.
The ghosts of all the other founding fathers help her sneak yes. into the debate and delay the actual guy running for president.
Oh my God.
So she can get up on stage and expose Thomas Jefferson,
and it's
right?
A fun, like, zany sequence where, like, George Washington is, like, ooh, like, distracting the guy at the door. And, like, yeah, everyone's
You doing. Do that every American president, like, because they all use the alien technology. For one night every year on America's birthday, they can come to life for one night, right?
Yeah,
every
yeah.
300 years, and they've all been waiting. And it turns out it's the little zany whistle she's had the whole movie, right? And if she blows it at midnight on a July 4th, all the greatest founding fathers will help her sneak in so that she gets into the debate. And then, yes, it's the thing you said where she exposes Thomas Jefferson on the debate stage.
Yeah.
And then he's like, but he makes his pitch, right? And yeah. people are into it. They're like, no, don't you see? You have to debate him. It's about how you say it, right?
Yes.
And then she puts it in, it's like speed putting it in fifth yeah. gear. She debates the shit out of it and
yes.
wins with the greatest speech a 13-year-old has ever given.
Yes.
And then and Thomas Jefferson explodes. All right, that's a movie, guys.
What?
I mean, calling a movie is nice, but it's awesome.
That's definitely a movie.
It's dope.
This felt like a fever dream, like of a movie. Like,
no,
this is like someone who watched Hamilton and then got like a fever and then just like went to sleep that night, and this is the dream they had.
Hear me out. Not only is it a fucking epic movie, it's a pretty cheap epic movie when you think about it. Because the primary sets are, it's like a classic Spielberg movie. It's like the primary sets are her house, the school, mm-hmm. the stage, and then like, yeah, you have a spaceship set, and then you have some B-roll, and then you have the debate at the end.
This
is like four locations. Yeah. This is gonna be a play.
This feels
true.
I'm gonna write this play. As God is my witness, by July 4th of next year, Will Campos will write this play.
This feels like the best book. This feels like the best like magic school. It feels like a magic school bus sort of thing. Like I would want this as a picture book when I was like in fifth grade.
I would have fucking loved this play when I was a kid.
Yeah.
All right. Good. You could be a good play. It's like how it's a weird play.
Frey's just so chill right now. He's just like sitting here, like watched it all happen. He's like,
you know,
yeah, that's the thing.
This is pretty much what you imagine when you say the words Jefferson Starship.
Yeah, yeah, for me, this is exactly what this is what all their music sort of evokes.
Oh, of course, the entire movie.
The soundtrack is
the soundtrack is only Jefferson Starship.
Now, here's a question for you guys before we go to the break.
Name one Jefferson Starship song.
No, where are they gonna do the? Where are they gonna? You know. Where's their cameos?
Oh,
where's the cool band cameos?
Oh, when she escapes an escape pod, you just have one really just clearly just bullshit cameo where it's like, well, we had to buy the rights to the name, so they demand to be in it. It's like, she's like going on her escape pod, and then all of a sudden, like, the escape pod runs out of gas, and she's like, oh, shit, I guess I'm not going to make it back to Earth. And then a little spaceship comes up, and it's Jefferson Starship. They go, oi, wait, where are they from?
I think they're British. You're fine.
Oi.
No, oi, little girl, you need a lift.
You want to hear a song while we fill up your
and
ship?
And she's like from a bloody Brit. Yeah, right. Sawed off redcoats. No. And then, Jefferson Starship helps her back to Earth. And then that's where you do your big Jefferson Starship needle drop where you play there.
Oh, and as she's doing her debate, Jefferson Starship stands up in the crowd like that wedding scene in Love Actually where people start playing instruments one by one. So she's like doing her big debate. And then all of a sudden somebody goes like, doo, doo, and they start playing. Yeah.
And they play Nothing's Gonna Stop Us off the album No Protection, 1987.
Perfect.
Hopefully that's not a song about something bad.
Whoa. Oh, dude, I'm not gonna lie, a lot of these names work for this movie. Okay, so you got Nothing's Gotta Stop Us.
Yeah.
You've got Volunteers.
Oh, that's freaking good.
You've got Laying It on the Line. You've got Jane. They've got a fucking song
there
named after the main character. You got Starship for when they're on the starship. And then you have Find Your Way Back.
All right. Well, it's official. They definitely, that's the score of the movie. Yeah.
Oh my God. Light the Sky on Fire for the scene when
the Washington. July.
Yeah. And then when the Washington. Oh, it's during the 4th of July fireworks.
I was thinking the fireworks were like a cover. So that's like when you said all the founding fathers showed up, I was like, oh, the founding fathers are floating in space and every 4th of July.
Guys, they have a song. The song is called Volunteers of America.
Yep. So yeah, they're doing it.
This has been it the whole time.
Oh, it's just America. The song's called America. They have a song called America. All right. Yeah. All right.
That's the end credit song.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and listen to the fine collected works of Jefferson Starship on our Spotify. You should too. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Janet Varney, and like many of you, brand new sentient robots excluded, I used to be a teenager. In fact, just about all of my friends were, too, including folks like comedian Danielle Radford.
And of course, all of us, you take on that theater accent, and our teacher would say, no, that isn't how people talk.
Right.
Don't do the super theater kid accent. It's the worst. But so when I was doing theater in high school, of course, I immediately was talking about being in the theater.
So join me every week on the JV Club podcast, where I speak with my favorite women artists, innovators, and humans as we reminisce about the past and how it led us to becoming who we are. Find it every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Hello, folks. Welcome back and welcome to the beautiful ambience of the Wong minivan. Will, you're in the back seat there. Why don't you tell the folks at home what it's like sitting in the luxury?
It's great. You know what's even greater than sitting in the minivan is not getting to do a trailer this week because Jimmy Wong has taken over our lives. Jimmy Wong has invaded the studio. He's invaded our brains. Curse you, Jimmy Wong.
He did the Snapchat thing, and he's both more attractive as a dude and a lady compared to...
He Jimmy's cast just his own it. Brother out on the streets, straight into his minivan. We were literally halfway through recording the episode, and we just had to run out into this minivan because Jimmy's just... His success is just taking over all of our houses.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you to everyone for bearing with us this week as we are currently production...
Hoboing it.
We are wayward wanderers as far as recording studios go. So no trailer this week, but we will be back on the trailer game next week for show.
Can we talk very briefly about what the trailer would have been if we had a proper recording
space? It would have been
space?
So cool. It probably would have been like the whole rock opera of Thomas Jefferson done a la Hamilton style, but even better. We'd be on Broadway right now. And, you know, Jimmy just really
he saved,
took us out of the knees.
In a way, he saved the podcast. Because if we were had a hit off-Broadway show that became a multimedia sensation, we wouldn't be able to do this podcast anymore.
That scene in Hero where there's two guys standing at each other and they foresee their entire fight?
Yes.
That's what happened. We realized that we would do this. We go to Broadway. We become famous and successful. We would be, you know, jealous of each other's various realms of success. We'd break up. Our fans would be disappointed. I did drugs. Will went off and started, like, doing work in, like, third world countries. And Freddie, I don't know what happened to Freddie. And we said, you know what? Let's just stay here and do the podcast that we love.
I would die jumping the Grand Canyon on a motorcycle.
Yes, Freddie got into stunt work.
It's a lot of weird stuff.
A lot of weird stuff happened. But luckily, we're not in that timeline. We're in the timeline where there isn't a trailer this week. Will, why don't you tell us about what kind of cool fan art exists in this timeline?
In this universe, we got a couple of great pieces of fan art this week. Special thanks to Josh Raymond for sending us a very good Flat Earth poster that really captured that Roland Emmerich heat. Well done, Josh. Thanks as well to Rob Anderson for giving us another Flat Earth poster that was like very slick and conceptual. It felt like it honestly reminded me of like the book cover to Joseph Campbell's The Hero of a Thousand Faces. So thanks as well to Rob. Thanks to Alex W. for doing an adorable drawing of Slarlar and Bryce for a poster called for a movie called Earthers. It's extremely cute. You can find all of those on our Twitter. Keep an eye out for the suicidal bomber beard papa in the corner of the Slarlar poster.
I love the title, The Earthers also.
Earthers is great. Love it, love it, love it. Thanks as well to Katie Bobady on Facebook, who wrote the frickin' first chapter of the Flat Earth young adult novel. That's on our
Is
Facebook
it finally
group.
Out? Oh my goodness. Can't wait to read it.
Freddie, can you give them the links for
Facebook,
both of those
folks,
things?
Facebook, as we all know, that's the one, that's the blue logo with the F in it. That's going to be at bit.ly/storybreakfb. Twitter, that's the blue logo of a bird. Everyone went to blue. Isn't that weird?
It's usually just two things.
Yeah. Well, but like all of them. Twitter, that's going to be twitter.com/.
Skype.
RJ Storybreak, Skype too, William. And,
Instagram, Discord, Slack.
Yeah, blues.
Purple.
Not blue.
Oh,
where's my neon green icons?
Gmail is not blue.
Where are my neon green icons at?
That piff.
Developers, app developers, hit me up. I got an idea.
Venmo.
Oh, okay. All right.
Find us on Venmo.
That's going to do it for us this week, live from the Wongmobile. I'm Freddie Wong, and I'm going to recommend Mordhau, which is a PC game. It is chivalry, which is like basically a hack and slash, and you get to control swords.
It is maybe the most entertaining game I've ever played for $30. It's really good, guys.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm going to recommend the season finale of Veep, which is one of the greatest series finales I've ever seen. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Hi, this is Matthew Arnold, and if you are disappointed in the Game of Thrones, you should check out The Rules of the Game, which is a 1939 film by Jean Renoir, which we've referenced a few times, and
I love
a masterpiece.
It is a masterpiece.
It is a foundational film. Yes.
When you play The Rules of the Game, you either win or you foreshadow the oncoming devastation of the First World War.
Also, if you watch Rules of the Game, you'll get a little bit of foreshadowing hint about the season finale of Game of Thrones, so check it out.
It's when Jean Renoir shows up with all the dragons at the end.
Yeah, exactly. He ruins the dinner party. All right, well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, I'm Oliver Wong, DJ, scholar, and journalist.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes, music supervisor and stiletto devotee. And we host Heat Rocks, a podcast where we invite our favorite musicians, writers, and scholars to talk about the albums that have changed their lives.
Morgan, what exactly is a Heat Rock?
It's a record that's like hot fire, combustible.
Basically, just a really, really good album.
We've taken a deep dive into Nigerian funk from the 70s.
He kind of had like a bad reputation in town as just being like a sketchy dude. And he was just making music that for thousands of miles around him, he was the only person doing anything like that.
1980s teen comedy soundtracks.
This soundtrack always felt the same to me as like when I would find a great blazer at a thrift store that I could, and I was like, oh, this is going to be me now.
We've talked about Prince, Boyz II Men, Kendrick Lamar, and everything in between. Heat Rocks every Thursday here on Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.